Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, July 17th, 2024. I have your host, James, here, and I'm joined right now by some of my favorite people. We have Mike Hittner, Luke Conkle with us to talk about the Historic Point Bosses Whodunit. This is coming up on Saturday, July 27th, 2 to 5, over at the Historic Point Boss. Guys, thanks a lot for being here.
Yeah, thanks, James, and everybody out there listening in Radioland.
Yeah, it's great to be here in studio.
Yeah, it is great to have you in studio, Luke. It really is. It's good to see you, man. Good to have you with us. And I'll put you on the spot. I mean, ask you my questions first, Luke. You know me. I'm a writer. I'm a creative. I love hearing about a little bit of how the sausage is made. I'm a guy that likes to know that. This story that we're doing this year, Tempered Truths, where did the idea for this one come from, and how did it go in the process of making it?
Yeah, so I was just at Pioneer Festival. Out at the site and looking for some inspiration. We were, as we were walking around, they had a field blacksmith and they had our usual blacksmiths there. And I sort of jokingly, because Ken, who sometimes plays our blacksmith, I said, you know, are you up for another whodunit this year? And he thought about it for a second. He said, no. So, and it's, you know, sort of in a roundabout way, we thought it would be kind of not funny because, you know, not funny, but but you know, entertaining maybe to kill off Sam and bring in a new blacksmith.
A little gallows humor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Nothing wrong with that.
So the story it's a little bit out of the chronology of the site because, you know, Sam has been in some stories that take place later, but you know, this is actually before Wisconsin becomes a state. And so the blacksmith shows up murdered shortly after taking on an apprentice, and so the sheriff is convinced that the apprentice is the one who done it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to folks to either confirm what the sheriff suspects or find out if something more suspicious is going on.
Right on. Oh, and great synopsis. Nicely done. I've been writing since I was 12, and I love writing, but I don't feel like I was truly challenged as a writer until I started in radio and I copyrighted. And I've always written the stuff I want to write or things that I think my mom or dad would enjoy or something like that. That was the first time I was like, no, it's not about you. It's about the prod, you know, the selling for the advertiser or something along those lines. For you, do you find a fun creative likeness with this where you are, you're not constricted, I don't mean, but you have a sort of, okay, well, I want it to be local. I want it to be from the area and all that. Working along those guidelines, do you find that to be fun?
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I mean, it's great to, you know, pick up on a, you know, some sort of historical feature or situation. I mean, in this case, I wanted it to be set, you know, prior to Wisconsin becoming a state. It's still a territory. Michigan has just become a state. You know, some of the, you know, there's some reference to the early dairy farmers who are, you know, coming up through cool. Columbia County, that sort of thing. So we're right on the brink, you know, we're not the dairy state yet. In terms of like, you know, who I'm writing for, a lot of I've found over the years that I'm writing more and more for the actors because they sort of get, you know, attached to their characters.
Oh, yeah.
And they play them in a certain way. And so, you know, there's a couple here that, you know, Mike could probably tell having read the script that they've sort of turned the character into something that I can then sort of play off of that because I know how they're gonna treat what they read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So. I think that's what a good creative does is work with. I was actually just talking with Mayor Matt about that the idea of, well, here's my playbook. Do what I tell you instead of, well, you have this skill set. I'm going to work my playbook to fit that skill set.
Right.
I think it's a little like that. That's interesting. What kind of research did you do for this?
Yeah, so, you know, I did actually more research than I thought I was going to into the treaties with the Ho-Chunk and the Ojibwa and the Menominee. Like I said, I wanted it to be set, you know, when it was still the Wisconsin territory, because that's something we haven't really fully explored yet. But then as I started doing it, we have this, you know, character Ada Turner, who's a wealthy landowner. And then when you start talking about land ownership at that period, you can't write that story without, you know, intersecting with all those situations. So I have a whole timeline here for the actors that, you know, depending on their character, they might know more or less about it. Because I mean, even the I guess we'd call them pioneers, at the time, knew, you know, more or less about the situation that the federal government and the tribes were.
Yeah, I think, James, just to interject here, I think that the Wakeleys actually came in after the Cedar Point. They were waiting for that Cedar Point Treaty to be signed, which was, I think, September or something of 1836. And so they came in early in 1837 in June, just because that treaty was signed. And it gave them access along the river, but really it was access from, like, Wisconsin Rapids to Wausau, not Nakusa to Wausau. So I think they interpreted it the way they wanted to interpret it.
Thank you, Luke. I'll have more for you in a moment. Mike, I always like to approach these as if we have new listeners out there and people who have not are new to the area or something. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the Historic Point bosses who done it, what do we want to tell people? How do you break this down for them?
Well, it's, I think, a 14th or 15th one now. Rhonda Whetstone did our first one, I think 2009 or somewhere in that area. And then Luke has taken over. And basically, who done it is kind of a mystery that the audience gets to solve, or try to solve anyway. And probably at least half the time it's a murder mystery. Some other time it's something that was stolen or lost or something like that. And it's just kind of fun for people to come out. And most of the people come out in kind of a little bit of groups, whether it's a family group or a group of ladies that really are into mystery genre or something like that. And they come out and they're asking questions. And you can see how interested it is because how many times they come back to a certain character, because maybe they're getting a little different story from somebody else, that what their character has to say, and then they want to put it against that person. And it's not sort of thing, we run it from 2 to 5. You don't necessarily have to come out at 2, but I would say you want to come out 3, you know 3:15 at the latest, so you can get around everybody, because a lot of times these stories go, and then you got to go back and get a clarification from somebody else. So you want to give yourself at least a good hour, hour and a half, and not try to do it in, say, 30, 40 minutes. I think that's accepting too much, trying to figure it out in that time. But everybody seems to have a great time with it. Luke collects the ballots of who they thought were guilty or whatever, and he kind of goes through those just to glean how or why they thought that person was so, and Luke will even ask those questions after he has the reveal. Why did you think that person did it or something? I think that's great, because he both learns and we learn as an audience, and the beauty of it too is that we don't know who did it either. So, I mean, we're unawares ourselves as characters who did it. Only Luke knows that in the reveal. We may have suspicions, and that's okay, and we can cast aspersions on different people as long as we don't outright lie about something.
Mike, to your point about being there on time and everything, it took Columbo at least an hour. Right? You know what I mean? Come on. Yeah, it's going to be at least
One more thing.
Yeah, but you got to remember.
Nicely done, Luke.
You got to remember, Columbo, though, he gave you the answer in the beginning. So,
it's true.
So the audience, it was easier.
God, the wonderful Peter Falk, man. And I'm curious, Mike, how many different locations will people be able to go to people to interview?
I think each character has their own space. So I think there's basically 10, I believe, characters. The victim isn't there, of course. He's not able to talk, so he's not there. But there's 10 characters. They're all separate. Even myself and Mary Wakeley are separate. I play Robert Wakeley. And we're separated in the house. One's in the parlor, one's in the kitchen, so that you can get individual answers from them. Not as a group like Fred and Rose Turner. You see them each individually, and you can play off each other's stories, what they tell, because sometimes they don't add up either.
Yeah. We're speaking with Mike Hittner and Luke Conkle with the Historic Point Boss on their Whodunit. It's coming up Saturday, July 27th from 2 to 5 over at the Historic Point Boss at 300 Wakeley Road in Nakusa. I'm curious, a question for both of you guys here, and especially when it comes to the minds I'm talking to, because Mike, you know how much I love that brain of yours and you talking history with you and everything, and I know you know a lot about these things. And Luke, you are an incredible writer and do your homework on these things, so I can only imagine how much you know up there. But do you find, even after these years of doing this stuff, that you're still learning things?
Certainly. If we didn't learn anything, we wouldn't be open-minded on this sort of thing, because we always learn. Even from the audience, you learn things. You know, all the time, when people come through there on tours, not necessarily the whodunit, some you'll bring up something and you say, I never thought of that, and you look at a different perspective.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time I do research for one of these, I find some little nugget that is surprisingly, it'll fit into the mystery that I think I'm writing. So it's almost like a little confirmation, which is nice. But, you know, the one that stuck out to me this time is that, you know, the city of Portage, where the sort of the start of the Fox River and the like, not really middle, but that one point of the Wisconsin River, that those two rivers, one connects to the Great Lakes all the way out to the Atlantic Ocean, one connects to the Mississippi all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. But right here in Wisconsin, and not too far from here, those two rivers are about a mile and a quarter apart. And they, you know, they talk, the indigenous people would talk about how it's 2,700 paces. Mm-hmm. It's just it's an amazing, amazing little piece of
history. Yeah, I think when you think about that, and we don't realize, like Luke said, how close they are. And they actually, of course, built the canal after a number of years. They used to portage it. Of course, the name Portage comes from that. Used to portage that back and forth. But a lot of those people, and that's where, you know, like Luke was saying, the Wisconsin River takes a great turn towards the west and towards the Mississippi Valley. So.
Yeah. Usually the thing that I discover is something about the Wisconsin River.
Right.
Appropriately enough.
Yeah. And there's so much to uncover. And it sounds like, Luke, in your answer there a little bit, that sometimes you come into the idea of, okay, I have a story idea, but you have to adapt and change that as some of the information you find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I might have revealed a little bit
there. Yeah, maybe too much.
I don't know. I got to stop asking you questions. I got to stop.
Yeah, that's right. Luke, when you write these, and I know that you were looking for inspiration, you know, somewhat later than you normally have mm-hmm. inspiration. Usually the year before you're thinking, well, I'm going to go this direction, or I'm going to talk about a railroad or something like that. Do you write these stories kind of front to back and back to front at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, I start with the whodunit, you know, the obviously the crime and or goings on, and then, you know, the character that I'm sort of pointed at. And this year, I mean, I had that I wanted it to be a murder, and I knew who I wanted to have done it pretty early on, and some of the motivations and that sort of thing. And then, you know, how that came together to be this particular mystery, that came a little bit later. But I usually start with, you know, that sort of premise, and then from there write out a sort of a reveal, at least in like an outline form, and then, you know, figure out, you know, what information each character needs to be able to give out to lead us there. You know, you kind of construct a little web, I guess.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting too, James and radio listeners, that there's quite a number of people that have come year to year mm-hmm. because they really like it. And Luke has noticed those, because Luke will wander around and find out what questions people are asking and what answers they're getting and stuff like that. And he may push them a little different direction, maybe because they're going off board too far or something like that, especially later in the day, maybe 3:30 or so. But it's kind of interesting how many, what I would call veterans, that come back year after year and are kind of intrigued by the whole thing. And they're following the kind of the scenario from year to year and whatever. And like Luke said, this one is probably our earliest one. It's before statehood and everything else. It takes place in the 1840s, before it was state. And that's kind of interesting in itself, because it reveals new things. And probably the expert on this whole thing with the treaties and everything that's on site is Claude Paquette, mm-hmm. because he's a native, he deals with the Native Americans, and he can interpret and stuff like that, and help to write some of the treaties and everything with Dubé. So I think that puts a little different shine on him versus usually he's maybe the scoundrel.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I was curious too about the, because I think that, especially again as creatives, we take a lot of pride in the work that we do, but things have different layers to them. I imagine doing something like this, it hits the pride a little bit stronger when you're able to do work like this, Luke.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of pride, one of the aspects is, you know, at the end, once you've read the reveal, to see, you know, how many people, you know, actually figured it out. You know, last year we had these. You know, secret codes being passed around, and I don't think anybody actually solved the code, but a fair number of people, you know, you didn't necessarily need them to solve it, and I think they were at least on the right track. We got maybe a
quarter of the people. Well, and I think some of them mentioned two or three people, and I think probably they hit it with, you know, with one of the names they did. They didn't narrow down on it, but with the talking, with the codes back and forth, they hit several of the characters that were involved or could have been involved.
Yeah. Yeah. And so part of it is, you know, it's a success if, you know, a handful of people get it right. You don't want everybody to, you know, we all wrote down the sheriff and it was the sheriff, you know. But, you know, and it's difficult too, because, you know, if you don't, so like Mike said, the actors don't necessarily know who did it. Mm-hmm. And so you can't put that, you know, like if you ever do those little mini mysteries, JR Quick Solve or whatever they were. You know, there was always like I never said what the murder weapon was, you know. And so you can't necessarily put those elements in there. You have to construct it in a way that they have to build the web. But one of the things that we've sort of added this year to help people, you know, not go down too many rabbit holes is a sort of a code phrase that the actors can say, is that if they precede their answer with, "You ask such interesting questions," yeah, it's sort of a hint that they don't have to step out of character, but they can reveal to the audience that, like, this information isn't part of my script, you know? Yeah. So when people ask, you know, who's the governor or where are the Wakeley's kids? You know, the actors have an out that they can say, you know, that's not really part of the mystery. But, you know,
that's really smart. It not only protects the story, but the actors, you know, from maybe improvising or saying something they shouldn't, or just putting them in awkward spots. That's really cool that you thought of that. That's interesting.
It took us 14 years to figure out, but we'll see how it works.
Again, Columbo didn't always solve it. You know, I mean, it took him some time. Yeah. It takes time with these things.
Oh, speaking of Columbo, just as a little Easter egg, because I know you're interested in this sort of thing, but we've had a couple of sheriffs, a couple of blacksmiths over the years, and the sheriff, His name is Ray Falk, and he's named after Peter Falk.
So, that's man, I love this.
But,
guy. God,
but,
that's awesome.
But you wouldn't combine those two at all if you know the character of Ray Falk.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike, can we give people the details of this event, how much it costs, when it's taking place?
Yeah, it's July 27th at the historic site, which is just south of 73 on County Trunk Z, and then you'll see our signage there, and you just turn there. And we have a booth now where we take you drive up to it and you can pay for your entrance, and it's $5 for adults and $2 for students, and you get your folder there, which gives you a backdrop of the characters and of the scenario and that sort of thing, and then you go out to solve it, and we also have pencils available, and we have a big ballot box that was, I think it was a ballot box for the town of Saratoga years ago, but for whatever reason, it seems to work really well for that purpose anyway. And we've got some water available on the site. We don't, you know, it's not a big event, so there's no food or anything like that. But we do have water if looks to be like about an 80-degree day, I guess, kind of following similar to what we've had and that sort of thing. And everybody's in close proximity, all the characters. Ellis will be in the barn, and you know the Turners will be in the three bay shed, and of course the blacksmith is where the blacksmith is. The sheriff is in the bunkhouse, and Robert and Mary are in the house, and Carol Crystal and Ada Turner are in the front yard. Claude Paquette is, of course, in the trader's cabin. You can go out and see the trader's cabin, by the way. James, a brand new porch on there we just put on. Now, of course, the traders tell us, since you put that in, the windows don't allow much light to come in now, so we're going to have to do something about that. I guess that's a future thing. And so I think everybody will enjoy it. It's beautiful to be on the site. It's just nice out there. You know, we were out there yesterday working on a roof, and it's just great weather to be out there and enjoy nature a little bit. Pretty much easy walking on the site. If somebody's got some handicap issues or something, certainly pay your admission and drive down. You can drive down to the roundabout on the end of the Wakeley Road, and can be a little closer. But otherwise, everybody will just enjoy this little walk through the woods and everything. So I think they'll enjoy it.
Gentlemen, just one more thing. want to thank the actors, want to thank all the volunteers, Luke, all the people that work so hard to make these things happen. A big thank you to all of them. And keep in mind that this is how we keep history alive. This is how we keep the Historic Point Boss going, is attending these events, spreading the word about these events. Encourage you to like not only the Historic Point Boss on social media, but share those on your pages. You just never know who can see these things that might not know about it otherwise. The Historic Point Boss also has classes available during the school year. There there are tours. There are so many ways for you to get over there and enjoy the land, enjoy the history of that beautiful area over there at the Historic Point Bosque.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too. I know last week you had somebody on from community theater, and three of our participants are community theater people. That's where they come from. So, I mean, we draw from our own people and community theater and some people outside of it, either one of them. So,
yeah. If you're interested, let Mike know. Some of our, like you said, some of our actors are aging out a little bit.
Yeah. We're getting too old for some of this stuff.
I'm going to have to throw my hat in the ring. Yeah, I got to do this, you guys.
I know you've been talking about it.
I know, I've been talking about it, and I got to do it. I just got to get over there and do it. That's what I got to do. And I do want to encourage, like I'm talking about now, putting into your community.
Sure.
Support those that support us, everybody. The Historic Point Boss Long has... It's our opportunity to support them. And all we got to do is take in a show. That's it.
Yeah.
And you can do that. And of course, always looking for volunteers over there as well. Mm-hmm. You can find out more at historicpointboss.com, historicpointboss.com. Both of you, thank you so much for what you do, and we appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, James.
We'll talk more about this great event as we get closer to it. But just one last time, Tempered Truce, a murder mystery whodunit taking place over at the Historic Point Boss at 300 Wakely Road in Nacoosa. This is coming up Saturday, July 27th, 2 to 5. Again, find out more at historicpointboss.com. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR.